every candidate on stage vying for the Democratic presidential nomination. But there's a catch. They're wearing bunny costumes.
I think bunny number six said something about Medicare.
Join us for a full hour of The Masked Candidate coming up. But first, Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, A Child with Questions. News you missed. Exciting new diseases.
So, Brian.
Yes, Jacker.
I
called you Jackaroon.
You did. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know. That's kind of a weird name to call you.
So, I got a disturbing video that I would like to talk to you about.
Oh, dear.
I got a video from some sort of militant child just firing off an automatic weapon, and it chilled me to the bone.
Oh, that would be my son.
What?
I was in Florida, Jack.
Oh.
I sent you a video from the gun range in Florida.
Oh, that makes sense now.
When I go to Florida to see Grandpa, the older son likes to go to the gun range. And the name of the gun range? High Noon. Isn't that weird, though?
Yes.
Like, there's one place I've been to called Shoot Straight.
Okay.
Okay. Or Take Aim. Like those are cool names, right?
I mean, because
when we did the show, we were in San Antonio at that, it was called Bullet Hole.
Yep.
Right. Those names made sense to me. But when I heard High Noon, like that's the, basically when you're having a duel, isn't it? Like that's the time. Well, let's have a gun duel at High Noon.
That's right.
So I just thought that was a weird name for a gun shop.
So do you think they're specifically targeting the dueling audience, the dueling market?
Which is terrible because you lose half your customers, right? but we were there at the gun range and the guy's like, oh, by the way, we have automatic weapons. And my son was like, ding. Dave just looks at me with that, please.
That's amazing.
So we fired an AK-47.
Okay.
A Sten, the World War II Sten, which was awesome because that's something I really enjoyed. An MP5.
And he's 15, is that right?
He is 15, yep. And they're fun, but it's just basically a great way of shooting money because it's just like, you put in 30 bullets and then within seconds, all those bullets are gone. And it's like, and that was $8.95.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh gosh, that's got to be 5 seconds of joy. And then it's like, give us another $10.
Out of money. Out of money. Yeah. They had silencers too.
Oh,
so we had a 22 caliber with a suppressor on it and you can't hear a thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally like ding, ding, ding. I thought all this stuff was illegal and apparently it's nope. So you want like a Florida man story?
Yeah, of course I do.
There was a little gun in the display case and it was like, you know what a Derringer looks like?
Yes, I do.
Like a tiny, tiny. So I'm looking at this tiny thing. It's ridiculous. It can hold maybe two 22 caliber bullets. Yep. It's tiny. Like you would fire it with like your thumb and your finger, like you would hold it. And I'm looking down at this thing and I asked him like who would use this? He's like, I used it. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it saved my life. I'm like, that, like how? He's like, well, these guys took a shot at me and I pulled that out and took a couple shots back. And I was like, geez, so Florida.
Holy cow.
Yeah, but he's telling me like, he was in Afghanistan for 2 years in the army.
I like to think that he wasn't in the army.
But he was in Afghanistan for 2 years.
He just takes justice.
But he's telling me, it's like, yeah, I go to Afghanistan. I'm there for 2 years. I come back and then I got people taking shots at me in Florida.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, damn. And then he goes, and then my old lady shoots me. I'm like, what?
What?
He pulls down his shirt and he shows me a bullet hole in his shoulder. And I'm like, oh my God, was that an accident? And he goes, no, she was mad at me. And my son looks at me. He's just like, what? So it's like, yeah. And I didn't ask any more questions. Like, did you put your wife in jail after that or anything? I was just kind of like, great. So we'll take the Sten right now and then give us some ammo. And and then in the car, I'm like to my son, like, so, no matter how mad mommy and daddy ever get each other, just know that mommy and daddy have never taken shots at one another.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
So weird.
Son, we got to get you back to New York City where the people just defecate on Starbucks.
Right. It's much better there.
Wow.
But the Sten was really fun because I'm a World War II buff. And so like, that's the one that has the magazine sticking out of the side. So you hold on to it and it's like, dee, dee, dee. It was like their kind of their special forces gun.
What do you love so much about World War II?
It was such a clear cut good versus evil war.
But I would think that you wouldn't like it because we lost.
I wake up every morning like, where did we go wrong?
I know.
Where did we go wrong? You think they would have learned not to open up a second front like they did in the First World War.
You'd think.
And then. But the best part was like for the Russians being there, Stalin and the Soviets being the, so you had all these generals on the front line mm-hmm. who were basically saying, hey, the Germans are, you know, loading up with tanks and they're preparing. It looks like they're preparing to invade. And Stalin's like, no, they're not going to invade. We have a pact. And the generals are like, Comrade Stalin, I'm really thinking they're, it looks like they're going to attack. Stalin overrules them. Like, no, they're not coming to attack. We don't need to reinforce. And then of course the Germans come rolling in. And what is the first thing Stalin does?
He shoots his generals, yes, giving him bad advice.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right?
I win.
He's so predictable.
That's so awesome.
Has them all executed.
Okay. Now I see why you like the war.
You know.
So now you just told me a story about your older son, but isn't your younger son's birthday coming up soon?
Yeah. Very soon.
And he turns what?
13.
So you will have no more young babies. You will only have teenagers.
It's very sad to me because I really enjoy that kid's age. I've everything between 3 so far and 15 has been lovely, but like that young child, yeah, we still play games in the house and we still
are silly.
Attack each other. Yeah. We're silly. And you know, the 15-year-old just won't do that, you know?
And the second, that your younger son turns 13, it'll instantly change. You've told me, right?
I expect it to instantly change. I'm going to wake up that morning and he's going to look at me like, Father, please leave. Like, what? But don't you want to play attack the Nazi guard? No, Father, please leave.
You embarrass me. I'm done with you.
You embarrass me. But yeah, I mean, he's still a little boy, but mm-hmm. it's kind of, you know, yeah, we're getting into the teen years.
Yeah. Well, now it's not like playing silly games and tickling. It's like, Daddy, how do you talk to a girl?
Yeah.
At what age did you take him for his first girl?
37. So I've got time.
Okay. I mean, you might want to start a little bit before 37. I mean, first of all, the odds are not good that you'll be around when he's 37. So you might just want to, you know, you want to make sure that you get him on his way and sort of teach him how to pleasure a lady.
You're right. I'll do it.
Yeah, good. So how do you find a good reputable house?
There must be review places online.
There must be.
Of course there are. I know there are. Mm-hmm. I know there are. Because that's how we determined there was a massage parlor downstairs from the writer's studio I was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was working on a book, I was on the third floor of this walk-up building in Manhattan. It was a writer's studio. But on the second floor was something, it was an Asian massage place, mm-hmm. but it just seemed shady.
Okay.
And all of us on the third floor were like, there's something up with that. And the crowd that kept walking in there after hours, it was a very interesting parade of people that came in, you know, after 5 p.m., you'd see them, you know, walking up the stairs and they just always looked guilty. and so people are like, you know, that's gotta be a massage parlor. Don't you think? And then, so I started looking around and I found a website that reviewed massage parlors. Mm-hmm. So I created a fake email address, whatever.
You went that far?
Yeah, I wanted to find out.
Wow.
So I created a fake account and, you know, logged in and, you know, and then sure enough, I actually was honestly very surprised at the number of massage parlors there were, or the happy ending places. Mm-hmm. And I knew there had to be some in Manhattan. There are lots in New York in general. You can type in the address, and I type in the address and bing, there it is.
Wow.
And then I'm reading, you know, the reviews. So people review the massages. And I just remember like how pathetic, first of all, like you're reviewing, you know, these table massages and stuff, but these guys complaining that, you know, the woman wasn't enthusiastic. And so I'm like picturing like some, you know, 350-pound dude like lying on a table and, you know, the girl's just not enthusiastic enough. 2 stars, you know, that kind of stuff. And, but we found out that for sure that they were running a massage parlor downstairs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, they had all these little code words, all sorts of acronyms that meant different things.
Well, the one thing that you and I have always joked about is how many roses does it cost?
Yeah, exactly. That's a Craigslist thing, right?
Yeah. You're
like, yeah, hey, 225 roses. It's like, oh, what does that mean? the police sitting there like, what? I have no idea what that means. This is baffling. Why do they like flowers?
Gary, get in here.
This woman loves flowers.
It's like the imitation game, just trying to crack the code.
Right. What do you think this means? I don't know.
I don't know.
200 roses?
Get a florist in here.
Yeah.
Oh, what idiots. I love it. Oh, gosh. It's funny. Oh, man. Full service. Okay. So that's probably where you'll take your boy. Maybe to that place.
Yeah. I hope she earns a 5-star review on on whatever it was called. Well, what was the name of the website? I remember. Rub Maps.
No, it is not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Rub Maps.
Rub Maps?
Yeah, let me Google it.
Yeah, actually, this is why we keep our computers open at the podcast.
This site can't be reached. Oh, maybe it's not.
I would take that money. Oh, really? Or have they been shut down?
Maybe they got shut down by that whole, copper legislation and all that stuff that shut down Craigslist. Interesting.
What?
It's rubmaps.ch.
What is that?
That's Switzerland. This is it. We should look up some in your neighborhood.
We should.
Spa, Cedar Street.
Oh my gosh, it's like right across from the pizza parlor that we go to.
Is it really? Massage yes. parlor pizza
parlor. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, but there are 18 reviews of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good to know. Rubmaps.ch.
This episode is brought to you by Rubmaps.
So, Brian.
Yeah, Jack.
It's Questionable Material with Jack and Brian.
Welcome to my podcast.
It's our podcast, and I've been here the whole time.
If you insist.
I do. Do you see this thing attached to my leg?
Yes.
This is my daughter, Eden.
Oh, it's a child.
A child. A little. Say hi, Eden.
Hi, Brian, Jack.
Hi, small female child.
So I've been having some problems, actually, with my daughter.
What's going on with your daughter?
Well, she asked me at the dinner table. We like to sort of open up as a family and talk about our day, our right. highs, our lows.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe things that we struggle with. And she asked me a lot of questions.
Okay.
That I don't know the answers
to. She's inquisitive.
She is, but it's not just inquisitiveness, like, you know, where do stars come from? It's like life advice sometimes that she has for me. And I don't feel equipped to give her the right answer. Okay. And I was wondering, because you're a parent of two successful, healthy, happy boys.
Wonderful boys.
Wonderful boys. I'm a big fan of your boys. And I would love my children to be like yours. So I was wondering.
You want your daughter to be a boy like mine?
Yeah. So that's one of the questions that I have.
Sure.
How can we fix this female issue that she has? Like, how do you cure a female?
Absolutely.
So anyway, does that make sense, Eden?
Sort of.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Okay. So she's going to ask you some life questions.
Life questions.
Just be that I can't, like, I don't feel equipped to, mm-hmm. and I really want you to guide her.
Okay? Sure, I will. I offer nothing but pure guidance.
So think about some of the questions we ask at the dinner table, and you can ask Brian, and he's going to have the answer for you.
How do you make popcorn?
How do you make popcorn?
That's a really good life advice.
Wow, that's, I use 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. And you put 3 kernels in and you heat up the oil. And as soon as those 3 kernels pop, you add 1/3 of a cup of popcorn and then some salt. And then you stir it around and then you pour it out in the bowl and you add some more salt.
That's a really good idea.
Thank you.
A really good life advice. That's how deep we get at the Helmer family. Do you have any?
And that's the extent of my cooking knowledge, surprisingly.
Mine too. Okay, do you have any other questions, like about like friends or anything? Some of the things that we talk about at the dinner table.
Do you know how to sew rips?
Yes. To sew a rip, you take 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. You rub it on the rip. Okay. Then you put the coconut oil soiled garment in a plastic bag, a Ziploc bag. You seal up the bag. And you write on the outside of the bag, angels, please help me. You take that bag and you put it under your bed before you go to bed at night. Okay? Then you wake up in the morning and you look under the bed and you'll see a little plastic bag in there. All right? You're going to pick up that plastic bag and you're going to go downstairs and throw it right in the trash.
He's giving really good advice.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
I should write a book.
No, you should definitely not. Okay, yeah, that's some advice. Do you have another question for Brian?
Yeah, how do you get rid of beards?
How do you get rid of beards? Well, you go up to Lawrence, who has a beard, and you'll say, Lawrence, I realize you're a professional, you're an executive, and you feel the need to have a beard. But I'm telling you, everybody sees through Linda. They know what this is all about. You can get rid of her. You don't need a beard. We accept you for what you are.
Thank you, Brian.
Sure.
I'm glad you've opened up that talk. I'll pick up that loose thread.
A later day, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll take that loose thread.
Sure.
And I'll put it under a pillow.
Okay.
With 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. Yeah, yeah. So thank you. Thank you for that. Great job. Thank you. And do you have any other advice for Brian? Because you can tell he's really good at this.
How do you know if a boy likes you?
Well, I walk into the bathroom and I tap my foot 4 times. I stand at the urinal, tap, 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 tap. If another boy goes tap, 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 that means he likes me.
Got that?
Yeah.
That is foolproof. I guarantee you.
And if it looks like he's in a stall with a wide stance, then it's probably a senator.
Okay. Okay. Good. That's sound advice.
Sure.
Let's see what else.
A bully is being mean at school. What do I do?
Oh, that's a good one.
Bullying is a serious problem in schools. What's the name of the bully?
Kinderjoy.
Kinderjoy.
No.
First of all, anybody who's named Kinderjoy is going to be a bully because it's a terrible name. He's been named after a German candy and he's angry. He's lashing out. But let's just say his name is Bruce. So Bruce is a bully. What you want to do is you want to kind of look at Bruce and be able to, in your mind, picture him. Say, okay, what does his hair look like? His eyes, his nose? How tall is he? How old is he? You're going to take all that information and you're going to give it to my friend Juan Carlos. And you will never have a problem with bullies within 3 to 4 days.
Wait a minute.
As soon as the money is transferred.
What happens to Bruce?
Nobody knows. That's the glory of it, because there's no evidence.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
This is, man, you're a guy to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so honey, that, do you understand? So Brian, no, he quote, he knows a guy.
But it's going to take 15,000 Tooth Fairy dollars. So start plucking those teeth out.
That is not funny.
Wow. Ooh.
Ouch. Okay. Okay, Eden, remember that I'm your daddy and I buy your birthday presents. So let's keep going. I do. What's
Barely. I want to invite 10 people to a birthday party, uh-huh, and my mom only lets me have 3.
So you want to invite 10 people to a birthday party, but your mom only allows 3. So 70% of your birthday party guests can't come.
So what does she do?
Sure. Well, you want the people who are coming to be your most important friends, right? And you want your most important friends to be the most tactically proficient and strong of your friends, right? So you want to put them all in a room. And what you're going to do, if you have 10 people, that's 5 pool cues. You're going to break the pool cues over your knee. You're going to hand each person a broken pool cue. And you're going to say, there will be 3 in 1 hour, or there will be none. And you walk out of the room. What'll happen with your friends is they're going to determine, they're going to take sides, because they know it's not every man for himself, because only 7 of them have to go. So you'll see some alliances form. There'll be some back and forth. There'll be begging, pleading, negotiating, betrayals. But in the end, you'll have your 3 best, most tactically proficient friends.
And you're going to have 3 really loyal friends at the end of that.
All of them are loyal.
Well,
oh my God.
They might be loyal, but they're weak.
It chills me to the bone.
They're all strong.
Hmm. Well, okay. Okay.
All right.
Especially
then.
Mina.
Mina?
Yeah, Mina's tough.
Is she?
Mina's for real. She's the real deal.
Yeah, she's so cool.
All right.
Yeah.
She's the best.
That's what people say about me a lot.
Oh, who says that?
Not me.
Nice. Wow. Jeez.
This is brutal.
It is.
Whose idea was it to bring this awful child?
Why don't you start your own mean-spirited podcast?
How do I get more birthday presents?
Oh, boy.
By going to bed at a respectable hour.
And not interrupting podcasts?
How do you get more birthday presents? Well, marry an older man. You know, marry somebody 3, 4, 5 times your age. You'll get better presents.
So
kids your age, they have no money.
So
like, 7-year-old kids don't have anything.
So right now, what's the age range of someone you should be looking for right now?
I mean, you know, you get somebody in their 40s, 50s, they're going to be able to buy you a house, and not a dollhouse, like an actual house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barbie's dream house is pretty sweet when it's actually in Malibu.
What do I do if I'm watching TV and then a guest comes and my mom tells me to stop for like 15 weeks, but I can't wait that long? What do I do?
So you have a guest come for 15 weeks?
Yeah.
Is that when daddy goes out of town? For 15 weeks or 14 and a half?
So, who comes to visit?
Like Brian Sack.
What? Well, excuse me?
Oh, this is awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, the segment's over. I'd like to talk to you alone, Brian.
I understand. Thanks, Eden.
Well, thank you for telling me. You get extra. This is how you get extra birthday presents. Snitches get presents.
Tell mommy Uncle Brian will text her.
No, what does that mean?
That's just a message.
What does it mean?
I'm just going to text mommy goodnight. Okay. Jack.
Where?
You are.
I love that guy.
That makes one of us. Mm. Did you know that there's news that you don't get because the Trump news cycle just kind of absorbs all the attention and all this news falls through the cracks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he takes up, all of the time on the news.
Yes. So I go out and I find the news that everybody's missed.
Okay, what do you do
with
that?
And then I tell you.
Oh, you tell us.
Yes.
Oh, well, you should do that.
That's what I'm doing right now. Why aren't you listening to me?
Well, I am listening to you.
I'm telling you the news you missed.
What? I don't know. I don't know the rules of this game.
Listen for the sound. Bernie Madoff. Remember him?
I do. I love that guy. I keep leaving him like voicemails and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't respond. He doesn't call.
Did you invest with him?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, the 81-year-old mastermind of the greatest Ponzi scheme in U.S. history says he'd like to be released from prison early after telling the federal judge he wasn't a big fan of incarceration. Madoff is currently in federal custody at a facility in Butner, North Carolina, and says that while he has great friends and plays Uno every night and enjoys free meals, he finds prison life too restrictive and would like to travel more. Plus, he added, his bunkmate snores. Madoff has only served 11 years of the 150-year sentence handed down to him in 2009 after he pled guilty to swindling investors out of more than $13 billion, leaving many of them in complete financial ruin and resulting in the suicide of at least four individuals, including Madoff's oldest son, Mark. Madoff's attorney filed a motion last Wednesday requesting the compassionate release and said, look at him. He's an old man. Kind of looks like a grandpa, doesn't he? You wouldn't want your grandpa in jail, would you? Look at that old man. Santa's old like that too, you know. Come on. Be nice to the old man. In an interview with reporters, Madoff promised that if he is released early, he will not do any major swindling and will make a point to spend time with his grandkids, whoever they are.
That's a great story. Good find.
Thank you.
Do you think when Andrew Madoff killed himself, his Bernie went Uno because that's how many kids he had left.
Wow. Brutal. But didn't Mark kill himself?
Andrew H. Madoff, son of convicted financier, dies at 48.
Oh, but
are they both dead now?
I think they're both dead.
No kidding. Oh, wait a minute. It looks like they're both dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sad life.
Yep.
Karma.
I'd let him out.
Why?
Because then maybe get him back into business. I want to reinvest.
You want to get those fat returns?
Yeah.
Those fat stacks.
I mean, anyone who can get a 50% return on, right, on their investment, I mean, has really figured out how to beat the market.
What a shyster. A sexy lady caused a Yonkers man to put too much money on his credit card Saturday. 27-year-old Stephen Warner told reporters that after seeing the sexy lady in a bar and buying her an $18 cocktail, he then asked the sexy lady if she'd be interested in getting dinner. After the sexy lady answered in the affirmative, he took her to Casa Umberto, an upscale Italian restaurant where, Warner told the Post, he purchased high-end menu items, including a $40 black truffle garnish and a very expensive bottle of wine in an effort to impress the sexy lady. In a press conference held in the foyer of Casa Umberto, Warner said, make no mistake, I would never have spent this kind of money unless I thought I had a chance to touch the sexy lady, end quote. Sources say Warner and the sexy lady parted company shortly after dinner concluded, but that phone numbers were exchanged and that Warner would most likely overextend his credit card if it meant a second chance at the sexy lady. Sexy lady could not be reached for comment as she had given out a fake phone number.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad.
So reporters in Yonkers feel necessary to report on that?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a big news story out of Yonkers.
I guess so.
Yonkers.
Close to here.
Jack.
Yes, Brian.
Another story.
Okay. Tell
us. You missed. We didn't hear this
story.
You
don't know I missed this.
You missed it.
Okay.
A spokesman for New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the mayor is stunned that a policy of not enforcing laws seems to have resulted in an increase in crime citywide. Deputy Press Secretary Mike Jeffords told the New York Times that the lax enforcement of laws should in no way be seen as a tacit endorsement of lawless behavior, and that lawbreakers clearly got the wrong idea when Mayor de Blasio told the police he'd like them to not do their jobs. Jeffords said that corrective measures are already underway and that anyone who takes a crap on the sidewalk in broad daylight in front of my son will very likely get a stern lecture. In addition, the mayor will direct the transit authority to stop using the slogan, please jump the turnstiles. And now packs of feral teens who steal iPhones from middle schoolers will face serious scorn and even risk expulsion from school if they get caught 16 times. NYPD spokesman Sergeant Tyler Martin said that while the mayor's new efforts are a good start, a bunch of miscreants were currently vandalizing his squad car and he wanted to know if he could have permission to react.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough on crime here in New York.
Really tough.
Yep.
At one point.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yep. the last thing you need is a bunch of criminals with their feelings hurt.
You do not want to hurt the feelings of criminals.
Absolutely. That's great, Brian. Are those the end of the stories that I missed?
Would you like it to be?
Yeah.
It is.
Yay! So I was wondering if I could ask you about something that I know you're a big expert in.
Oh, what am I not a big expert in?
No, you're a super big expert in this one thing. I know that you you tinkered around in med school for a while.
Yes.
And that you know like a lot of very, very rare diseases, mm-hmm. diseases that like not a lot of people know about.
Right.
But that I've sort of heard about and have always wondered about, you know, what they are, what the symptoms are, uh-huh. how to cure them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if maybe you could just, because, you know, there are probably some listeners who maybe are a little shy to ask their doctors
sure.
for medical advice. And I think you can provide this service.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the age of coronavirus, it's good to get out there with all the medical info you have. Sure, I'm happy to tell you what I know.
I think it's important for people to just get as much information as they can and just throw it on the internet.
Yeah.
And that really is going to help people.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you could tell me about, I didn't even know this was out there. I've heard of A, B, and C, but apparently there's hepatitis Z.
Yes, hepatitis Zeta, we call it.
Okay, see, I didn't even know that.
Or hepatitis Z in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, hepatitis Zeta, mm-hmm. As you know, is a form of hepatitis.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, hepatitis C can be passed through sexually transmitted to that pathways mm-hmm. or...
needles, is that
needles,
right?
Needles, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, so you have a lot of the drug users, things like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, hepatitis Zeta is exclusive to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, that's one of those diseases where if you have unprotected sex with Michael Douglas,
yes.
he's bound to give you.
Yeah. So, oh. yeah, so it, basically, it can all be traced back to Catherine Zeta-Jones. Usually by way of Michael Douglas, who mm-hmm. has been fairly promiscuous.
Sure.
And so you can really see, like, if you look at a tree, it's really fascinating that you get to see the tree of Zeta transmission. Mm-hmm. It's really quite fascinating. And a lot of them are Oscar winners.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's quite fascinating.
Can you tell me some of the symptoms of hepatitis Z or Zeta?
Zeta. Uppity coughing.
Oh, wait. What does that mean?
It's like a form of coughing, but it sounds more pretentious. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a pretentious type of cough.
Like a look at me cough?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bladder inquisitiveness.
What then?
It's just, you feel, do I have to go? Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm good. Maybe I can wait. Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. And so there's just this constant like feeling of not knowing. And it can be very discomforting. You know, when you're lying in bed in the morning, you're like, should I get up and go to the bathroom or just lie here? I'm okay.
Like, can I make it another 20 minutes of sleep?
Yeah. He's like, yeah. So it's kind of like
that. Terrible disease.
Yeah, but it's like that all the time.
Any other symptoms that we should be on the lookout for?
Yes. Ungurgitation.
Well, that's not regurgitation. What would ungurgitation be? When you don't never throw up? When you never bring anything up?
Everything you eat comes out exactly the way it went in.
Oh my gosh. So your body is so used to not putting on weight that it just passes food right back out.
Yeah, exactly. It comes out like a full ribeye. I mean, it's just like, you're like, what? I thought I chewed you. You should be gone by now.
And it somehow in the belly after
it reassembles.
No way.
Comes out. Yeah. Oh, what's this? A parsimon? Ah, you know?
Yeah. No, I do know.
Yeah. Carrots. Yeah.
Carrots.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that sounds like, so, and how is it transmitted? Because I know it's Catherine Zeta-Jones based, but how does one contract it?
If you either lick or touch Catherine Zeta-Jones or Michael Douglas, mm-hmm. or people who've been in their close proximity, within there's a small window of mm-hmm. opportunity to mm-hmm. catch it.
Right.
My best advice was don't lick either of them.
I licked Kirk Douglas before we lost him.
Like how before? Like right before?
Like a seconds before he went.
Like maybe you compromised his immune system.
I did. I was incredibly sick at the time with hepatitis Y, which as you know, is what you get from licking Yoko Ono.
Right.
And so I was and then I decided to lick this dying old man.
What party was this?
Oh, it was a classic Michael Douglas party.
Wow.
Yeah. With Chet Douglas, his messed up kid was there. And it was just like, I just started licking
Chet Douglas
or whatever his name is.
Chet Hanks.
Oh yeah. It was Chet Hanks. But then there's Michael Douglas has that messed up kid.
Does he?
Yeah.
They all do, don't they?
Yeah. They do.
All these celebrities wind up with crazy kids.
Yeah. So, okay. So you contract it from licking a Douglas and,
Licking or touching a Douglas or a Zeta Jones. The best advice would be to wipe yourself with, Lysol wipes.
Would you, now, if you wanted to lick one of, if you wanted to lick Catherine Zeta Jones, which I think we can say we all do, right?
Sure.
I mean, can you wipe her down and that would get rid of it?
Yes.
Okay. And what should
that reduces the transmission rate dramatically.
What should
It also makes Catherine Zeta Jones smell like Clorox.
That's perfect. That's kind of my thing.
Okay. I mean, she's normally a Chanel number 5 kind of gal.
Okay. Well, that's sort of, I guess it's a different smell.
It is.
Okay. So, and she's open to being wiped down by men who want to lick her people. I don't want to.
You could try. Since the whole Me Too thing, I've stopped just randomly licking people.
Oh man, you've learned a lot.
Yep.
It's a good movement. Okay. Good job, Brian. This is such a weird disease that I've heard of the other, but awake apnea?
Awake apnea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, sleep apnea, of course, occurs when you're sleeping and your throat kind of restricts your breathing. Mm-hmm. Your passageways close up, which forces you to wake up so you can breathe, which disrupts your sleep pattern, which results in you not getting well rested at night, which can contribute, of course, insomnia can make you feel tired. It can lower your immune system. As you know, people who are constantly not sleeping get sick a lot.
They get a lot of hepatitis Z.
And hepatitis Z. Mm-hmm. They work with Catherine Zeta-Jones. So awake apnea is a restriction of the throat.
Do you have it?
No.
Brian, do you have...
No,
Brian, you should have told me.
No, that's just ineloquence.
Oh, ineloquence. Okay.
Awake apnea comes obviously in the daytime when you're awake. Mm-hmm. And you could be sitting there minding your own business and your passages just decide they're going to close, which creates an alarming feeling, which causes you to gasp for air, which makes people think that maybe you're super excited about something. So you'd be sitting there and be like, and people are like, oh my God, Tim, what's going on? That's so exciting. Do you have great news to tell us? And then you're like, no, I just couldn't breathe for a second.
So there must be some places where you don't want to be if you have awake apnea, like if you're at a funeral service or something.
Right. Because they'll be like, Tim is in heaven now. And they're like, oh my God, did you see Tim? And they're like, no, I have awake apnea.
Oh God, it's so embarrassing. Because everyone thinks that an angel has just appeared before them.
Right.
And that maybe there's life beyond that losing Tim isn't such a big deal.
Right.
But then they realize.
Yeah. Or they, may speak now or forever hold your, in a wedding. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Oh my God, Steve has to say something. Steve has something to say. What is wrong with the groom?
What did you do to my wife?
That's right.
What did you do to my fiance, Steve?
Yeah.
No, I have this disease.
I have awake apnea. So.
And then the whole wedding is ruined, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it can ruin a wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bad affliction.
Are there any known cures?
There's something called a bamboo shunt, which is basically just a bamboo tube.
Okay.
It's about 60 inches.
Okay. It's pretty big.
Just kind of put it down your throat to open up the passageway. Make sure the passageway doesn't close.
Okay.
Downsides of it are you've got a bamboo tube shooting out of your throat and coming out of your mouth.
Okay.
So, it's awkward to sit down. It's awkward to eat. It's awkward to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little alarming, like you've been impaled on a piece of bamboo.
Absolutely. And well, I'm concerned by, 60 inches, there are plenty of people who are below 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Would that just come right out of them on both sides?
Not on both sides.
Like they're on a spit?
No, it's just this little extra coming out of the mouth.
Okay.
So if you're super short, then you basically, it's going to go down to the throat and then halfway down your esophagus. And then the rest is just going to be sticking out.
Okay.
So it does look awkward. It's hard to get in and out of cars.
Okay. Yeah. And does it sort of like rest on the top of the heart?
If somebody pulls on the stick, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like potentially dangerous.
It is. Very uncomfortable.
I mean, maybe people should just like make an annoying sound every once in a while instead of having the bamboo shunt shoved down their throat.
It's an optional procedure. Yeah. People do opt to not do it.
Is it typically covered by insurance? Brian.
No, it's not.
Oh, I thought you were so excited by my question. I thought it was a really good question.
No. I was excited at the prospect of insurance.
Vote Sanders.
Vote Sanders.
You'll get it.
You'll get it for free.
Mm-hmm. Awake apnea. Okay, that's great. Here's another thing I wanted to ask you about. Diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So diverticulitis is when somebody's trying to tickle you and you direct them to a different part of your body in the hopes that they'll try tickling there, which is not as ticklish. So you're diverting a tickle.
Okay.
And that's, yeah.
That seems more a game plan than a disease.
Yeah. Yeah, diverticulitis is an
affliction. You just got confused with that other one.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
Diverticulitis is a disease that affects a small number of scuba divers. So what happens is they're underwater and they start they have a tank on their back, right? And then suddenly they get this weird tickling feeling underneath their back, but they can't reach it. They can't kind of scratch. It's like this itch you can't scratch kind of thing. It's highly annoying.
Oh.
And it happens to people usually when they're 100 yards down in the water place.
In the water place.
Yeah.
And they get the annoying tickle.
Yeah. The diver tickle.
The diverticulitis.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible, but probably for most people, that's not going to really affect them.
That's right.
Okay. So is there any known cure?
Getting out of the water.
Oh, you should just get out of the water.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a good cure.
Yeah.
But for people who really want to dive and are afflicted with this,
yeah.
Is there any known cure?
2 tablespoons of coconut oil. And you just rub it on the afflicted area.
Okay.
And that'll make a lot of the tickling and itching feel go away.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a great, I didn't know that was a salve. It seems that there's nothing you can't do with that stuff.
That's true.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good to know.
It's high in omega-3s.
Okay. That's really cool. Here's something else. This seems like something you don't want to get.
Yeah.
It's called dolphin herpes.
Yeah. Dolphin herpes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, dolphin herpes is a form of herpes transmitted by dolphins to humans.
Oh.
Yeah.
How?
Well, it starts with a cocktail.
Okay.
I mean, a decent gin and tonic and you're in.
Okay. Oh.
But you're into dolphin herpes. You know, it doesn't manifest itself unless you're watching pro wrestling.
What?
Pro wrestling triggers dolphin herpes. And that's when most people with dolphin herpes find out.
That is so fascinating. Yeah. What is it about the act of viewing professional wrestling that activates the dolphin herpes?
I think the spectacle of looking at something and realizing it's so profitable and so ridiculous creates anger impulses through your neurons that shoot down disbelief fluid into your body, which activates your testicular androgynes. Which is a term.
Yeah, no, of course it is.
And
you went to medical school.
Yeah. And that can reach down into your, what we call the bladder zone.
Okay.
And spark like an inflammation and then it'll break out and then it becomes visible.
This dolphin herpes thing is really concerning to me. Yeah. How can people avoid contracting it?
2 tablespoons of coconut oil, flour, and you let that soak and you cover your groin in that.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Boy, there's nothing you don't know.
I know a lot.
You know a lot. Well, the dolphin herpes, well, gosh, yeah. Let's hope. Have you ever had a case of dolphin herpes?
I accidentally got it from sitting on a toilet seat.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So that is an urban legend that is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it can happen.
And then the last one I wanted to ask you about is chlamydia.
Chlamydia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Jewish chlamydia. She gave me chlamydia. That's how that works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same as chlamydia.
But it's Yiddish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chlamydia.
Yiddish chlamydia.
No, I sounded like a Three Stooge.
No. I got chlamydia.
No, that would be a good Three Stooges act.
Right.
You know, he tried to poke the eye and then he just has unprotected sex with the guy when he knows he has chlamydia.
Yeah.
Well, chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any known cures?
You could convert and then you just have chlamydia.
Okay.
And then you take penicillin.
Oh, yeah, that would be the way out. Okay. Wow, well, you know a lot. Oh,
Jewish penicillin, which is chicken noodle soup.
Jewish penicillin.
Chicken noodle soup.
There we go. Well, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thanks for all your knowledge.
Thank you for my knowledge.
You're welcome.
That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.